right, that was amazing. All of the voices that sang already, y'all were absolutely, positively perfect. So job well done. Unfortunately, oh yeah. Your job is not over. You don't know this, but I need your help. What we're going to do is I'm going to call out an animal and you're going to make the animal noises, okay? Do not be afraid to do this. Do not listen to the adults that are with you. When I say an animal, you tell me their noise. Are you ready for the make sounds? I need you. Here we go. Adults, you really can participate too. It's quite fun. All right. Cow. Pig. That was funny from here. Dog. A lion.
That was good.
A bear. Nice. Okay, how about a farmer? A howdy partner. Wolf. A wolf. We got real wolves in here. How about a sheep? How about a shepherd? A shepherd? Go back in your pen. Oink, oink, okay, maybe. All right. Maybe, okay, I'm just off the top of my head. What if for shepherd, we could think about the shepherd's crook, right? The big kind of cane pole with the shepherd's crook. And maybe for a shepherd, we could pretend like the shepherd is beating the floor or the ground, right? And maybe we use our feet. So let's try that out. What do you think a shepherd sounds like? Oh, that's pretty good. All right, there are three noises that I really need you to really perfect. A wolf. A sheep. And a shepherd. I'm about to read some scripture. And when I do, you're going to hear about a wolf and a sheep and a shepherd. And I want you to make those noises, okay? Are you ready? You have my permission. If you read a lot of scripture, you already know what I'm about to read. It comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, and it says this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf. And he leaves the sheep. And he runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And the hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have no other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also so they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. If you read a lot of scripture, you know that there's only one companion story in the Old Testament to this, and it's found in 1 Samuel. And it's when David says, I will lay down my life for the sheep so they are safe from the lion and the bears. And honestly speaking, scripturally speaking, that is the only context that we have for this exact passage. Because typically what you do is when you lift scripture out, when you lift a specific story out, you're to look for the context. You're to look before it and what's after it and all around it. But in the Gospel of John, you can't do it. Because John does not record things chronologically. He doesn't put things in the right place because he's writing for a totally different purpose. And so to find context would be confusing. It would be a little convoluting. And so what we do in the Gospel of John only is we take our story and we see that John is using a very simple metaphor for a deeper truth. And what that truth is, this scripture is all about recognizing sounds and recognizing voices. Kids, if you were a kid in the room, raise your hand if you have to live with an adult. I'm going to assume that you know when the adults you live with are mad. I'm going to think that you know when they're happy. Have you ever heard of a mom voice? If you know, you know. I know you do. Yeah, kids, just based on the tone of your family's voices, of your parents' voices, you know if they're happy, you know if they're sad, and you're going to change your behavior. Adults, I'm going to think that you know about different cries. Believe it or not, kids have different cries. There's a I'm tired cry, I'm hungry cry, I need more attention cry, I'm actually really hurt cry. And I'm not talking about kids of just babies. I'm talking about infants to teenagers and probably a little above that. They're different cries. And we're going to change our response based on the cry. If you have a partner, if you have a spouse, and you tell your spouse, I'm fine, your spouse is going to know whether or not you're serious based on your tone. People who love you are going to know if you're being truthful just by the tone of your voice. People who love you and live close with you, they're going to know the nuances of you. And so your dearest friends will call you out every single time because they know you. They know your spirit. They know your tone. They know how you communicate. And so the question is, are you living in such a deep relationship with God? Are you living in such proximity to God that based on God's tone and voice and mannerisms and nuances, you are changing the way you behave, the way you respond, and are you doing what is being asked of you? I'm going to guess y'all don't know a lot about sheep. It's just a guess. And I'm going to guess that some of us in the room had to sign what's called a homeowner's policy. Have you ever heard of a homeowner's association policy? If you haven't signed one, you probably know it's like a bunch of rules that people agree to. I'm going to guess that in our homeowner's association policies, it does not allow for sheep in our backyard. Maybe indirectly or directly. But you know what it does allow? It allows a dog. So raise your hands if you know about a dog. Anybody have a dog? I know you do. I'm gonna guess that you talk to your dog all the time. You're going to go up to your dog and you're going to go, you want to play? Is it time to play? And you're going to go up to your dog and you're going to go, is it time to rub your belly? Or you're going to say, it's time for food. Or you're going to say, that's not good. And I'm going to guess your dog has absolutely no idea of the words you are using. But your dog follows you all the time out of love. The same is true for sheep. No matter what sounds, no matter what other animals, no matter what other people around, a sheep will only be led by one. It will only do what the voice of one tells it to, and that is the Good Shepherd. God is our good shepherd does not mean God's not bad. It means God is perfect shepherd. It means God's the model shepherd. And there's an old, old story. And it goes like this. There's a census taker who was making his rounds at the Lower East Side of New York who interviewed an Irish woman bending over her wash tub. "Lady, I'm taking the census. What's your name and how many children do you have?" And she said, "Well, let me see. My name is Mary. And then there's Marcia, Dougie, Amy, Patrick." And the man breaks in, "Never mind the names. Just give me the numbers." The woman straightened up, hands on her hips, and with a twinkle in her eye, she said, "I'll have you know, sir, we ain't got into numbering them yet because we ain't run out of names." Everybody knows you don't number sheep. You actually cannot number a sheep because if you do, the sheep will not thrive. Every sheep has such a personality, has such an individuality about it. If you count them, they become one group. And then they don't eat what they're supposed to eat. They don't do what they're supposed to do. So everyone knows you do not count sheep. They have to be treated individually in order to thrive. And the same is true for us. God treats us individually so we can thrive. And the scripture says, "I know my own and my own know me." Recently, there are God's people who have names who have been using their voices all over college campuses. There have been all kinds of protests lately. I'm not talking about the content of those protests. I'm talking about the act of. Because what's been so interesting to me this week as I listen to news reports and I read articles is the conversation that the college presidents are having. They talk about how the students need to find their voice. It's free speech, but it comes in tension with safety and trust. When you go to a college campus, it's like one little flock, and people go to the flock to find their worldview, and they find who they are, and they find their opinions, but they do so with this overarching understanding that there is a sense of trust and safety. And the leader is there to help provide it. That is our scripture in action. This scripture is all about finding that language of intimacy and trust and safety while finding your own voice in it. The problem, what makes that hard? People disagree in the flock. Once upon a time, this is a good story. There was an ecumenical meeting that was being held in a very large city, and every imaginable denomination was in attendance for this unprecedented event. They all decided, "We're going to live and we're going to meet in unity." And one afternoon, the gathering was in session when all of a sudden, the secretary rushed in the building shouting, "The building's on fire! The building's on fire!" Confusion reigned as each church group came together and did what came naturally. The Methodists, they went into a corner to pray. The Baptists, they cried out, "Where's the water? We need holy water." The Quakers quietly praised God for the blessing that the fire would bring. The Lutherans, they posted a notice on the door declaring the fire was happening. The Roman Catholics, they passed a plate to cover the damages of the fire. And the Unitarians, they reasoned that the fire would burn itself off if just given the chance. But the Episcopalians, they formed a procession and marched out. And the Presbyterians, they appointed a chairperson to appoint a committee to look into the matter and make a written report of the fire. Meanwhile, the church secretary had to grab the fire extinguisher just to put the fire out. There was another denominational meeting that just occurred these last 2 weeks, 10 days of business. If you don't know it, it's called the General Conference of the United Methodist Church, and it has been delayed for 4 years, so people have been waiting. I want to tell you some of the biggest report from that denominational meeting. The United Methodist Church has a homeowner's policy, if you will. It's called the Book of Discipline, and it's all of the rules and all of the guidelines that we all commit to following. And after the work of 10 business days, the United Methodist Church has made a revision of our rules, and they have taken out very harmful language to a group of people. And so now, the United Methodist Church has opened the right of marriage and the right of ordination to all people. And the responses of this report have been different. There are some people who are jumping for joy. And there are some people who are gathering in corners saying, we need holy water. And there are some people saying, what does this mean for me and my local church? And then there are some people who have become organized and they have recessed right out the door. It's called disaffiliation, and that happened in November. And then there's some people who are running around saying that the building is on fire. May I remind you, Chapel Roswell, may I implore you, Chapel Roswell, to remember the words of John 10 that says, we are of one flock, and those who are not in the flock are to come and join the flock. And may I remind you, Chapel Roswell, that we are no longer needing to number people as us versus them. We do not number people as who agrees with us and who doesn't agree with us, because it is time to know people's names so that all people can thrive equally. Amen. It is time. It is time for us to use our voices and all the sounds we make in such a spirit of love that we put the fire out. Because John 10 is very clear. We are not the ones at the gate. God is. Amen. Just recently, we took a poll. You used your voice to tell us which kind of communion you preferred. Do you prefer the traditional version of intinction, or did you prefer our wonderful all-in-one? 98% of you preferred traditional, so today we have both. And so I invite you to join our voices together as we come around this table. And I know that some of you agree and some of you disagree, but I would remind you that this is the table where Jesus had all people that night. All of his friends gathered around to share a meal and to share in the one prayer of unity. And so it's in that spirit that I invite you to hear these words. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you, so do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, we offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. And so now we pray to God, saying, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And so by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And Lord, we also want to ask that you help us to live out Psalm 23. You are our shepherd, so we shall not want for anything else. Help us to live in happiness and in joy with the very things in front of us. And show us ways to take care of the people in front of us. And give us courage to know it's our turn to use our voice of kindness, our voice of forgiveness, and our voice of compassion. And as opportunities come up, may we be committed to them. May we commit our time and our service. And may we ensure that we're spending more time with your people face to face than over social media. So help us to form real relationships so we can know the challenge and the privilege of being your flock. We pray all these things using the words of the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would invite those who are helping and assisting with communion to come forward. And as they do, I would remind us all that this is not a United Methodist table. This table is God's table. And so all who wish to receive may do so. And if you are comfortable with your child having communion, then we are comfortable with your child having communion. And you may come to any of our stations. I'm going to have the traditional bread and the juice here. And I'm going to have our all-in-one right over here and in the middle. If you need a gluten-free option, I invite you to come and take these all-in-one. If this is what you choose to take, then please remember to open your juice first and then open up your bread. No other way around. I will invite you to come as you wish. The table is open. After you take communion, you can stand and sing with us.